Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Good morning to David Slack. Morena.
Morena, Johnny.
Now, this morning we're chatting about the government's overhaul of the Resource Management Act and their aims to streamline the planning process and reduce compliance costs. Where do we begin with this topic?
Well, by looking back, I reckon, I was there at the start of this thing when I worked for Geoffrey Palmer, who was the Minister for the Environment and the Prime Minister, and undertook this whole ambitious scheme, which aimed to change the way we do development so that it's more balanced, better managed, and doesn't simply look for the economic opportunity, but also ensure that you get sustainable development and that you get you consider aspects of the environment that have only become more urgent as the years go by. And all the way along, there's been an objection to having such a system because it slows you down from the beautiful dream of making money. And it's a truth thing that will slow you down to some extent. But if you want to have a future for the country that is sustainable, you probably actually need to go on doing it that way. And the tension has been forever since then to try and find a way to make the thing go more smoothly. And look, everybody would agree that it's a desirable thing that you don't want it to cost too much and you don't want it to take too much time. If you can find a way to make it quicker and cheaper, that would be marvellous. And the last government recognised the importance of that. They proposed an overhaul again. And I should say this too. Geoffrey Palmer, who conceived it in the first place, writes about it extensively. Something as big as this, you're not going to get it right the first time, and you're going to have to go on tuning it because it is so big, so sprawling, because it contemplates everything we do. And what you and I think is important is not necessarily what the guy down the road thinks is important, and that's the continuing tension. And you need to have a process that lets everybody have a say about that. And you make your changes, you see how it works, and you identify there are new things you need to do, and you do them, and you keep going like that. So I'm giving an awfully big preamble for this, but I think it's important for the context of where we are now.
No, it makes sense. It makes complete sense. I mean, how do you assess the balance between efficiency and environmental protections and the current proposed changes?
Yeah, and so that's the crucial thing that we've got in front of us here, that they've summed it up in this way. They've said it'll start with a presumption that property rights are what matter most. And that can sound kind of nice at first blush when you say law based on property rights. But what it tends to mean really is, if I own it, why can't I do what I want with it? And to again put things in a bigger historical context, this is what people used to say to anybody who had the audacity to oppose slavery. You know, the idea that I own it, therefore I can do whatever I want with it, is a limited conception of things. So that's your first problem. The second problem is, and once more, a little bit of history. If we think back to the early 90s, that's when we began to see, the early 2000s, but it's when we began to see the chickens coming home to roost with the leaky buildings. And what I mean by that is, the national government in the 1990s said, we need to simplify this process. It's too time-consuming and costly to do building. We're going to let people decide for themselves if their stuff is up to scratch, because it's in everybody's best interest when you're in business to sell a good product. So they changed all those rules. And what happened was a whole lot of buildings got made that were not fit for purpose. The water got in, the timber rotted, and billions were lost by many, many people who individually were wiped out by the cost of that. And all of that happened because they had started with that same point of view. Let's make this simpler. Let's not get in the way of people trying to get ahead and make a dollar. Well, when you don't have enough of oversight and enough control, that's the kind of thing that can happen. Potentially, that's what we've got here too, where you say, we just want to say property rights come first here, and we're going to say there's going to be a presumption that if you own the land, you can do what you like with it, unless it hurts somebody else. And we're going to simplify the process so that you can go ahead and do that without everybody having the chance to object to it. Well, sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it, to what they did in the early 90s with the building regulations. It's really nice in concept, but it can be really messy in the execution. And there's one more thing, Johnny. That is the way in which property houses are built. The last government worked with in collaboration with the opposition, it must be said, worked on finding a way to achieve densification so that we put more onto the land that's already there. What they're saying now, this government, is we want to let you build wherever you like. I'm simplifying, but it kind of comes down to that. If you want, because Chris Bishop in particular is really hung up with this idea that it's the supply of land that has made housing so expensive. It's sort of right, but it's only half the story. Mostly it's to do with the construction cost. And so he's saying, if we can let these cities sprawl out again, we can get onto more of that land and we can make housing more affordable. Well, yes and no, because you've then got a huge infrastructure cost of servicing all of that sprawl. And so always with these people, you've got the initial impression that things are going to be simpler and more affordable for people. But actually, there are certain extra costs that are bound up always in this kind of thing. And that's your problem with these guys.
So the government is reaching out currently for consensus from the opposition parties like Labor and the Greens. And they've stated that they're unlikely to make major changes if they disagree. Do you think it's likely that all parties will reach a political consensus, a broad consensus?
Well, to be fair, you know, much of what's being proposed here is somewhat resemblant of what Labor was proposing in their last term, which was this Natural Environment Act and a Planning Act and a sort of a standardisation and a streamlining. All of those things, they can probably find common ground. Where you get into difficulties, where you take away the treaty clause, where you take away the rights of objections, where you take away where you impose this presumption that if it's mine, I can do what I like with it, I think that's more than the opposition would be comfortable with, and I hope it's more than they would be comfortable with, because I think it's important to object on that basis. You're trying to make it too simple. You're setting us up for longer-term failure, potentially. Now, there's another thing, too. This kind of legislation takes a long time to do, so the process of getting all of this done inside of this electoral term, not great.
Do you think it's going to become a significant point of contention before the next election if they're aiming to pass this new resource management legislation? Will this become an election issue?
Possibly. You know, it's a bit tricky for the opposition to make it a nice and simple proposition. And so I don't know. Although, to be fair, you might have said the same thing about Three Waters, but the then national opposition made it into a huge election issue. But they did that by utterly and quite willfully misrepresenting it as on the basis of assertions about racial division and people helping themselves to property rights, which were lies, actually.
It should have been called the fresh water, the sewerage, and the something else, you know, just really simplify it to make it, if it was the sewerage treatment plan, you know, you might have got a bit more consensus from the public.
It really should have. Don't get lyrical.
Yeah.
Not when we're talking about pipes.
Yeah. Hey, we might wrap it up there, Mr. David Slack, and we'll check in with you in a couple of weeks' time.
Pleasure. Cheers, Johnny.
Cheers, dude. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.